Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, and let's just take a look here. And he's the prisoner of the Lord, he says in verse number 1 in Ephesians 4, and he's beseeching them. And we took a look last time, we took a look about the commandments of the Lord, and I've made mention about legalism and how legalism is not the obedience of the Lord. It's not that. It's the applying and taking the law to add to or try to make more complete a salvation through Jesus Christ and adding something else to that. Brother made a point that there can be in obedience of the Lord, there can be a legalistic attitude and making determinations about things, and we don't need to make any determination about anything aside from the Word of God. It's by the Word of God that we live. This is our rule of faith and practice. I thought of that when the brother mentioned that to me last Sunday. Remember how there was a time that some brethren thought that horn-rimmed glasses were evil and wicked? Well, I'm glad we got them now. You know, wire-framed glasses. I guess it was a thing where the hippies started wearing them or something, and so because of that, or John Lennon started wearing them or something like that, and that made them evil. Well, that's not so. Glasses are glasses. But I thought of that, you know. I know of one brother. I like to wear cowboy boots. I don't wear them as much as I would like to. But have y'all ever seen these cowboy boots that, or they look like cowboy boots, but they're cut off right here, and they have a zipper on the side. And I know a brother that was told by another man, said, "You can't wear those because that's what sodomites wear." Well, you know, I mean, if they were like advertising sodomy or something like that, then that'd be different. But they were just shoes. All people wear shoes, don't they? You know, and see, and he was taking an attitude that he knew that those shoes were weird that way. And that's not what I'm talking about, horned rim glasses or them cut off boots. What I think about them cut off boots is that, man, you didn't get your money's worth because you didn't get the rest of the shank. But the brother that wears those, I love him, and I'm glad he's got them. I like the whole boot myself. But, you know, I remember another brother that says, it's not the purpose of the church to make laws. And that's true. We're not to make extra scriptural addition. We're not to do that. We're not to do that. We're to go to the scripture and take it and apply it. But we're not to make law or commandment. And so there are those things that are there. And I wanted to touch on that and address that to that point. But we do need to take a word of God as it comes to us and go with that. The Catholic Church, they've made themselves a governmental system, haven't they? And they take what they say they take the Word of God, and then they make all this other stuff. And of course, then they've got when the Pope sits down, he speaks in the stead of God and all that stuff, and makes new dogma and new scripture and all that kind of junk. And that's not of the Lord either. And so we're not talking about those things. We're talking about the Word of God and how the Word of God comes to us. The Lord gives us His commands, and as His children, He expects us to obey Him in them. That's how we know to obey, is by His instruction. That schoolmaster that showed us that we were guilty and wicked against God, that brought us to Christ, now is there. That Word of God, the law, the Word of God, testimonies of God are there. And now as a child, our soul is not in jeopardy of eternity, but the Word of God shows us how to live. And so that's a transition that we're going through, and we see that I've told you about here in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 25, we'll pick up here. Wherefore, because of these things and the way the Gentiles live, what we've been saved from, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. I got myself in trouble in Sunday school class this morning, and I'll go ahead and tell it to everybody so you hear it straight from the horse's mouth, or the ox, as it were, right? The scripture talks about that the minister should be taken care of by the ministry, because the ox that treads out the corn, that doesn't mean that all ministers are oxes, okay? But I got myself partly in trouble about this thing of lying. Everyone thinks that the baby that's born to them or that arrives in the family is the most beautiful baby in the whole wide world, right? That's the way it is, the way it works. Grandparents look at the child and say, oh. And parents look at the child and say, oh. But it's the fact that it's this way. Not all babies are beautiful. Is that? It's just because they're babies. I mean, sometimes they ain't got hair. Okay, I know I'm really getting myself in deep water. But with them, they haven't got hair, they ain't got any teeth. And we say, isn't my baby beautiful? And we say, yeah. I'm not saying I don't love the child. I'm not saying that. But it's just that way, right? But see, to us, they are most precious and beautiful indeed. It's that way. And so one brother and sister, to get out of lying, when they would be asked, says, isn't my baby beautiful? This guy was probably a pastor, a minister, and he would say, yeah, that's a baby. So he wouldn't be lying, but he didn't line up. He didn't think that the baby was pretty. He would get out and say, there's a baby. That's a baby. But the point of that is, and every baby that comes along from now to when y'all plant me out here, I'm going to have that to deal with, right? Oh, listen, your child that's born to you is precious, okay? Precious. And they are beautiful from the standpoint of having life, right? But they're toothless and they maybe don't have hair, okay? You understand where I'm coming from. You all know I love children. I don't hate children. I love children. But the thing is we can be lured into lying very easily, can't we? And so, Brother Jim, that's not a big deal. But if it's not the truth, it's not the truth. We just got to watch, okay? We just got to watch. We are tempted to not tell the truth when we don't want to hurt our brother and sister's feelings. Right? No, we need to be honest. And sometimes maybe the best way to be honest is just not say nothing, okay? But we do need to watch that, because if it's not the truth, if we're thinking one thing inside but say something else, for the sake of in our minds being kind, we're not telling the truth. Brother Jim, you really put me in a strait. But the thing is God's looking on at it, okay? That's being picky. White lies. Is there anything such a thing as a white lie? No, lying's lying. We need to be honest. Boy, I'm going to pay for that forever, aren't I? They'll say something about that at my funeral, probably. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. You know what? In some of the hardest times of my life, maybe that's what I need is the truth. Now, we can take the truth and we can handle it hard, can't we? Or we can bring the truth and we can be gracious in it. And that's what we need to do. We need to manifest the fruit of the Spirit in all things. But we need to always be engaged in the truth. Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Because I can get angry, buttons on my shirt collar pop out, take songbooks and throw them. It's no good, is it? And if I do get angry, which there's things that can make us angry. We've all got different things. But I don't need to sin when I get angry. What's the easiest way to sin when you get angry? Yeah, tongue, mouth. Like just like that, right? Can't take them back. Can't pull them back in. Ooh. Hate yourself for saying it. But right there, get angry. Be angry and sin not. Look what it goes on to say there. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now, the way I understand the scripture and this thing about wrath is wrath is the manifestation of anger. I think anger is the thing that's happening on the inside. That's how we describe it. But wrath is anger with legs on it. That's when the anger drives us to action. Again, maybe with the mouth, maybe with the hands, maybe with the feet. We go and do and pursue. Going in anger, if we don't manage it right, could cause us to go and, as an example, it could cause one to go and lie on somebody, couldn't it? Because we can't deal with them straight on. I'm going to involve other people and tell lies on this one to just bring things against, right? It's the way the world works, isn't it? Yeah, it's the way the world works. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Come sunset, I need to have it settled. Why? Because we get it settled in the day, we get our anger under control in the day, it won't turn into bitterness. Because, brothers and sisters, it can and will turn into bitterness. You know what bitterness does? It destroys the person, and then it destroys those around. Because bitterness never stops at one address, one person, one soul. Bitterness goes on. But see, when the sun starts going down, and we got anger and wrath in our heart, and then the sun starts going down, and we mill on that, and we think on that, and we connive on that. Remember what the scripture says in Proverbs? I believe it's in Proverbs about the wicked man. The wicked man is not content to let the sun go down without causing somebody some grief or some heartache. We don't need to be found in that crowd. Amen. Be angry and sin not. If you get angry, don't sin. And don't let the sun go down on that thinking to do any kind of wrath. Don't do that. Don't harbor that in your heart. My heart. The sentence doesn't stop there. Because this is a revealing, this is more explanation or clarification about what that's going to do. Neither give place to the devil. Who's being talked to? Church at Ephesus. Who's in the church? Saved children of God. When I'm angry and I let that go out there for me to do some sin regarding it, I let the wrath get stirred up, what am I doing about my testimony? What am I doing about my witness of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that the way Jesus Christ handled stuff? No, I'm denying Him, aren't I? Because that's not the way the Lord would behave. And I'm given room for the devil to blaspheme. I'm given room, as it says, I believe, over in 1 or 2 Peter, in the epistles that Peter wrote, in regards to the women. And ladies, in your place in your home, and the place that the Lord's made for you in marriage and in your home, and that you do and pursue those things well, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. If I let the sun go down on my wrath and I give in to anger and sin, and that I tear down my testimony of the Lord, don't I compromise it. I give place to the devil where he can come up there. Giving place to the devil is giving the devil a place up there to come up there and stand. Don't give him any place. May God help us not to give him any place to stand in our lives. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Don't steal. Don't steal in any way. Anybody that works in any kind of a plant, factory, knows that there's opportunity to carry stuff off at home. The fellow that I worked with, he's a machinist. He said that he worked at McDonnell Douglas there at St. Louis. Big tall guy, 6 foot plus, big strapping fella. Always wore an overcoat to work, even in the summer. Had all kinds of pockets in it. And he'd go home with a load of tools all the time. Said one time he walked out of there with an electric chain hoist. Jerry's familiar with those, working with tooling. We'll take dies apart with them and that. He walked out with electric chain hoist around his neck in that overcoat. Always beware of the guys with big lunch buckets. Right? That's how Johnny Cash got his car home, right? Right, yeah. Said, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good. Put your hands to the labor. Make sure it's a good labor, not wickedness. Right? Not making crack. That's labor, but that's not good labor, as an example. I know you wouldn't do that. I pray you wouldn't. We could get cornered into where we might be tempted to do so. Lord, help us. It could happen. Let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. A brother brought up a thing about sharing, how we're told that, we're taught as a child to always share. And he had kind of had a quarrel with that, and I'm still dealing with that in my mind. But you know what? Whether we are to share it or not, we are to be almsgivers. Okay? Understanding the difference? There is a thing of sharing. We should be full of hospitality as the Lord's people. Okay? But there's an element of socialism that says the one that's got more is obligated to give the one that has less. And that isn't right. Okay? But everybody that has should be willing to help out those in need. All right, and should be willing, according to the Word of God, to be hospitable. So to be hospitable, we got to afford some. I got to at least give you a glass of water to be hospitable, right? Or something to eat. Sister Patty makes great fried onions. And so I try to be most hospitable when she comes to our house to have a few onions there so she can fry them up. But we need to be that. But the thing is, it says here, work with your hands so you can give to him that has a need. I find it interesting there that they thought that Judas went out from the supper. One of the thoughts was, by the apostles, was that Judas went out from the supper to give something to the poor at the instruction of the Lord. Means there'd been a habit of doing that, hadn't there? Yeah. If they thought it had been done before. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. No corrupt communication in cursing, in swearing, in taking God's name in vain, taking up the language of the world. You know, there's a lot of words that were cuss words and swear words and stuff when I was a kid in the 70s. That now are just accepted. I find there's a time that I want to teach and preach on those things, but I don't want to be saying them. You know, isn't that a strait to be in? We can get so lulled into things and drawn into things by the conversation of the world that we don't even know what's going on. Words that are made up of two words. And both of those, or at least one of those words, is a wicked word. It was cussing and swearing. If I'd have said that in my mom and dad's house in their hearing, they'd have slapped me. But now it's put together with another word, and we say it's said by some just kind of no big deal. We don't need to have any corrupt communication come out of our mouth. We need to know the origins of what we say. A brother, I'm thankful that he did. There was a thing that I had said. For several years. Why? Because I heard it said before. I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. He told me about the origins of it. And Lord, be my helper, I'm not going to say it anymore. Because it had a connection all the way back to a man and his behavior in a day decades ago. And so beware about what you say, what you use. We certainly don't need to take the Lord's name in vain or anything that refers to the Lord's name. In any kind of vain, empty way. Don't say God's name, and don't say God's name just idly. It breaks my heart to see on Facebook and on emails and stuff, OMG, oh my God. We don't need to be saying that. Relative to nothing, we don't need to say it in a vain way, in an empty way. We don't need to do that. No corrupt communication to proceed out of our mouth. If the world's doing it, we need to take a look here and see if the world's doing it, or if it's in vogue with the world or popular with the world, maybe I need to stay away from it. Because that is our witness. That is our testimony. That is how we are out in the world. Now, these things, are they commands? Yeah, they're commands. Commands to keep us saved? No. Command, do you want to sin against your Heavenly Father? No, I don't. We don't. You're a child of God, you're saved. You don't want to sin against God, do you? No. And so he instructs us to let us know how we can be obedient to him. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grace. That which is not deserved, right? Getting that which is not deserved. We need to be a minister of grace to those that hear us. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, don't quench him either. How is it when you're grieved? We can be most easily grieved by those that are closest to us, right? You can be grieved easily by your spouse. I say hard words to Clarissa. It'll hurt her. It'll grieve her. Our children. We all know what it is to grieve when we experience the loss of the death of someone that we love. We have grief, don't we? May the Lord help us that we understand that our behavior and our way, our attitude even within, can be a grief to the Spirit of God who lives within. And we need to seek and pursue that we don't grieve our Lord that way. Amen? When I bring sin into my heart, into my soul, when I think about things that are not right, not pleasing to God, it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Not to mention when I get involved with it, with my hands, with my eyes, with my ears, with my feet. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Spirit is is that by which we have been saved, right? The Spirit within is the promise of what's going to take us to the end. Amen? Sealed to the day of redemption. Jesus redeemed me when he died. I came to believe it the day and the moment I was saved. This old body is going to be redeemed too, one day. That work is yet to be done. That glorification is yet to be done, isn't it? And so that by which the Spirit of God, that by which I've been saved and been made a new creature, have been brought from death unto life, from darkness unto light, dare I grieve him? Oh, may God help that we not do so willfully. Amen. I got a pile of ignorance working against me where I just don't know or don't think and don't consider. Or let the world sucker me into things and just follow after the way of the world, not considering what the Lord thinks about it. Got a pile of ignorance that works against me. But may God help us so we not grieve the Lord, not grieve His Spirit, certainly in a willful way, or quench the Spirit, grieve and quench the Spirit with sin. I find verse 31. I wanted to get to these last verses, finish up this chapter. Be angry and sin not, right? Let not the sun go down on your wrath. But then the brother goes on, he says, there's something better. There's something better. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath. See, anger with legs on it, wrath. Pursuing of that bitterness, malice that's going to be mentioned here is wanting to hurt another. They all work there together. They all build on one another. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor is just clawing, trying to get to the end, trying to obtain a thing. Those that are bitter and want to seek to do hurt to someone else really ultimately won't be satisfied till that other person is dead. That's pretty cold, isn't it? But somebody that's on the lookout to hurt somebody because they've been offended or because of just a dislike of someone or something, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. That's a warning. We may get angered. But you know what's better? Don't get angry at all. That's better. I'm better off if I just don't get angry. Now, there is a zeal and a desire of righteousness. But you know what needs to be, because we need to love what the Lord says and have a desire to pursue that. But the sinner that is caught up in sin or has fallen off into sin, our brother, our sister, or the one that's without Christ that's just off in the wickedness of sin, you know what we really owe them? We really owe them to pity them. They're a victim of the enemy. You realize that? They're a victim of sin and wickedness and going after Satan's way. Someone just reads me the right act and gives me down the road, I would do better to pity them and pray for them than to get angry at them. If I do get angry, Lord help that we not sin. Don't become wrathful. But he says, if you really don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed, let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor, evil speaking. See, someone reads us the right act, automatically what I want to do is dish it back. Oh, may God help that the words are righteous, right, good words. It's not talking about being a coward about the truth. It's not talking about not taking a stand. But it's talking about lashing back, getting back, trying to get even or a little bit more. No, let those things be put away from you with all malice. And that's that malice is that desire to avenge, to get back and to hurt. When we've got it before us, somebody has spoken to us as an example, has spoken to us in a mean way. Maybe we've even tried to be helpful and they've spoken in a mean way. Rather than taking the choice of saying something that'll hurt them or sting them back, say something rather that would be edifying or say nothing at all. And pray for them. Pray the Lord will help and work in it. He goes on here and the sentence continues, verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That needs to be my attitude. My old man doesn't like that attitude. He'd rather get in a fight or a fuss. he'd rather stir up a row and beat the other one up physically or beat the other up with the tongue. And feel like the victor or the conqueror. But that's not what the Lord says, is it? That's not what the Lord says. Yeah, be angry and sin not. But you know what's better? Put away anger. Put it away. Verse 32 gives us a hint. Is he talking about our dealings with the world? Well, of course it applies. But he's really talking to us about here in the church, isn't he? Because see, that last verse wraps it up and points it to that, doesn't it? And be ye kind one to another, saints at Ephesus. Of course we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. Of course it applies to the world. But here he's dealing with this church. Be ye kind one to another. The way we would want kindness shown to us. Be tender-hearted one to another. The way that we would want tender-heartedness shown to us. Be forgiving one of another. The way that I would want to be forgiven. Remember, we've not been forgiven any greater than God, for Christ's sake, having forgiven us, huh? Yeah. It's a long way to go, isn't it? The commands of the Lord, you know, if we'll yield to those things and we'll pursue those things, you know what it'll do for us? It'll give us peace. Right? And didn't the Lord on the Sermon on the Mount say, blessed are the peacemakers? Didn't he say that? What's it say about them? They'll be the children of God, right? Called the children of God. Is that a bad thing? No, that's not bad at all, is it? Don't you want to be known as a child of God? I don't like me. you know what I'm saying? This old guy, I don't like him. I like the new me. You know what I'm saying? I like the new man. I pray the new man will beat up on the old man. Amen. Pin him down, beat him up, and put him down. But we've got it. We've got the fight, don't we? And whichever one we feed is going to be the one that's going to rise up. May the Lord help us to feed the new man. May the Lord help us not to grieve and quench the Spirit of God. What will the Lord do with us? Not grieving and quenching His Spirit. Something to think about. If you're here and you're not saved, this hadn't been a message to you necessarily, you need Jesus Christ. You know, turning over a new leaf won't save your soul. Straightening up and cleaning up your life. Taking on Christian behavior, Christ-like behavior and virtue will not save your soul. You need the God-man. You need Jesus Christ. We point you to Him. Repent and believe the gospel, His death, His burial, His resurrection for your sins and for your soul. May the Lord help you in it. If we can help you in any way, be glad to do so.